Hello, everyone. It's Jesse Gasparo. This is the Practical Christian Podcast. Again with me is Jesse Baptiste.
Hi.
And Steve Campbell.
Hey, nice to see you guys again.
How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Good, good. It's good to have you guys. The topic we were going to cover today is how to deal with someone who is professing salvation, but you are not seeing that change in their behavior and attitude. Definitely a good question. There's definitely more nuance to it, like the more you think about it and how to approach it. And definitely a very practical issue that we deal with. It's something for sure I think we can all relate to. So very grateful for the question. Brother Steve, do you wanna start us off?
Yeah, sure. I had a verse in Colossians that I was just going to read, first of all, Colossians chapter 1, because someone, one consideration of this question might be, well, do we even have any business to say whether somebody should be growing spiritually or not? You know, they don't seem to give any evidence of growing in faith, but maybe that's none of our business. But in Colossians chapter 1, I just really appreciate what Paul the Apostle says to the Colossians there. Verse 28, he says, him, speaking of Christ, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. And I always kind of think if the Apostle Paul had a business card, maybe this verse would be on his business card. You know, this is my goal, to present everyone perfect, or that is to say mature, complete, well-developed in faith, perfect in Christ Jesus. And of course, he's the Apostle Paul, and he had a responsibility to help believers grow spiritually. But the Colossians were Christians that he had never even met before. He'd never been in their presence. They had never seen him face to face. He says that later. And so here are Christians who he cares about them to grow spiritually. He has a place of responsibility and even authority, we would say, as an apostle. But it really was his heart to see them make progress. And I would just take that, even though we're not apostles, we're just ordinary fellow believers. I think it certainly is very appropriate to say, we love to see Christians who are developing spiritually, making progress. And if somebody doesn't seem to be growing in faith, then we have some concerns. And those concerns are legitimate. We're not just being nosy. We're not being, you know, busybodies. It is possible that Christians could be busybodies. The Apostle Peter warned us against that in 1 Peter chapter 4. He says, don't become a busybody in someone else's affairs. But if it's an appropriate interest in someone who professes to be saved, says I'm a Christian, and yet there doesn't seem to be spiritual progress, it's definitely a valid concern. And I was going to then suggest another passage in 1 Thessalonians. Maybe I'll just read that also in connection with what I was just suggesting. And then I'm interested to hear what you think as well. But in 1 Thessalonians 5, there's a really nice verse in verse 14, which I think has bearing on this subject. It says there, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. And the thing I really appreciate about this verse is not everybody's the same. You know, we don't have cookie cutter fellow believers, cookie cutter Christians who are all struggling with exactly the same thing. And so You know, like if I take my car to a mechanic and I say it needs brakes, well, they look in the, you know, the service manual and you, okay, these bolts and these other parts, and you take this off and then you put it back and boom, you have new brakes. But people aren't like that. And so we don't, you know, have a service manual where it gives you, you know, these seven steps will fix the person you're concerned about. Some people, like it says in this verse, some people are unruly. They're misbehaving. They're not behaving the way someone who claims to be a Christian should behave. And that person should be warned. But other people are faint-hearted, and other people are weak in their faith. And it would be a real tragedy to, you know, come down with a stern warning when somebody is weak and needs to be comforted or to be supported or sustained. And so it does need some discernment, some, you know, dependence on the Lord, some prayer about a situation. You know, why is this person? Here's, let's just say, here's a young man, here's an older sister who doesn't seem to be growing spiritually, or I thought this person was a believer, but now I'm seeing evidence that makes me wonder. And this verse tells us that I think we do need to ask the Lord for some help in discerning the situation. If somebody is unruly and we're giving them comfort, well, that's not what they need. They need warning. But if somebody is just faint-hearted and we come down, you know, as the saying goes, come down like a ton of bricks on somebody who's just faint-hearted. Well, that's not the way the Lord Jesus was. He didn't quench the smoking flax. He didn't break the bruised reed. He was gentle. And so that these two points, I think, might be a good place to start. On the one hand, it's an appropriate desire to have care about someone's spiritual growth. And then alongside that is we really have to ask the Lord's help to know how to go about it.
Yeah, I was thinking, when I was first thinking of the question, I was, my mind went to James and the idea of faith without works. And, you know, it is a concern if you're not seeing the result of faith in someone's life. Right, it's not enough to just say, "Yeah, I have faith," and then you're not living in a way that would sort of display that there's active faith inside of you. And so, it's right to be concerned when there's someone who says that they're a believer, but they're not displaying attributes of a Christian.
Yeah,
but it becomes very hard because I think part of it is the culture we live in, where you can't really. It's very difficult to tell someone what they're doing is not right. Or, you know, it's very hard to come and try to correct something where, you know, we live in a world, no one can tell me what to do. You know, you can't tell me to do anything. And if you do, you risk like offending them. You risk, you know, people are worried about being canceled and all this stuff about, you know, losing a friend or, you know, just this fear of, we're so afraid of perception of what people think about us and all that. And it all kind of factors into like, how do I approach this? And I think it's very important that there's a relationship that exists between you and this person.
Yeah.
And the motivating thing for a believer is love, right? Why would I care? If I don't care about you, why would I say anything, mm-hmm. right? If I don't care what your life is like, I don't care what you're doing. So I think it's important to emphasize that this is the motivator is love. And even you read the apostles, you read the letters of Paul, sometimes he comes down hard and sometimes he comes down real hard. But he's always affirming that he cares about them. He's always telling, I'm always praying for you. You're always in my thoughts. You know, his love for the people of God was evident. Even in the letters, when he's coming down hard on them in one chapter, he's talking about how he cares about them and how encouraged he is by the things that they're doing and the things he's seeing. So there's a balance, right? And it requires a lot of discernment. And the thing I was thinking of, you mentioned the Spirit of the Lord, you know, the bruised reed and the smoking flax, like he had that spirit of gentleness when gentleness was needed. And he was able to call out hypocrisy when there was hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. And he knew what the person needed. And we have the Spirit of God, and we have Christ as our example, and we have the examples of those who admonish. But even the passage that you read regarding admonishing, a few verses before, it talks about respect those who admonish you, mm-hmm. right? So as a Christian, it's important that we admonish each other and we encourage each other and we build each other up. And so it's not just, you know, saying like, hey, I don't see any fruit in your life, but like trying to encourage them in the things of the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just coming down hard on them. It's giving them opportunities to grow. And how can I help you grow? Can I pray with you? Can I, you know, interact with you and encourage you spiritually? So there's a give and take in Christianity, and to be willing to be admonished, as well as willing to admonish in a very humble way. We have in Scripture, you know, the Lord talked about it, you know, don't look at the speck in their eye and then you have a beam in yours. So examine yourself first before you're going to go admonish somebody, before you're going to, you know, it says, you who are spiritual, restore a brother who's taken in a fault, right? So you need to examine yourself and make sure you're in good standing and you're in a position where you can give advice and give encouragement. And it's a challenge, right? We all have to be, it's very easy to see the faults in other people. So I always have to, you know, point the fingers at myself first.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think it has to be done out of love. It has to be, as Brother Steve talking about, discernment, and what you were talking about, Jesse, about being out of love. I think it's something that, so I'm thinking, like, for instance, we have to get to know them, right? I mean, like, or get to know what's really behind what's happening, right? Because we may look at somebody and say, you know, like, oh, they're doing this, but what's going on in their life? What's causing them to be affected in this way? I like how the Lord Jesus Christ, when he saw the two on the road to Emmaus, in Luke 24, they were downtrodden, they were discouraged, they were like, oh, you know, we wish it had been him, and they were in a, I don't want to say a backslidden state, but they were, you know, they were like, you know, this, you know, this is maybe, this is not what we thought it was, right? And sometimes Christians can find themselves in a situation, they might find themselves in a downtrodden state of circumstances of life. Maybe you lose a job, or, you know, there's something family going on, or something that can cause them to look like they are in a, you know, in that kind of state. Maybe it may be something they just need care, right? Uphold a week, right? But it may be sometimes that, you know, as you talk about Apostle Paul, when he talked about in Timothy, he said, you know, he had to deliver Hymenaeus and thing to Satan, right? Because they were blaspheming. So you have to have that discernment where these were two guys who I think it said that they had their conscience had been shipwrecked, right? Or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. they were dabbling in things of the world. He said, Demas has left me, having forsaken me, having loved this present world. These are people who were, you know, it was blatant that they were doing things that were against what, you know, was supposed to, you know, happen as Christians. But then there's other people who, you know, even the how the Lord Jesus Christ approached Peter. He had backslidden. He went back to the fishing. He went back to his old thing. He approached him at the water, and he talked to him in a loving way. So there's different approaches. But I like what you said about we have to also, the discernment also has to come from us in our lives also. Because, I mean, the first thing when you tell somebody you're not living right, they'll say, well, you talking to me, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we have to make sure our lives are, you know, in line with what the Bible is teaching, and also make sure that we're coming out of love. Because if it's not out of love, as the Bible says, it's tinkling cymbal and sounding brass. It will cause more harm than good.
That's a really helpful comparison or comment on the approach. I just turned to another verse in Romans. It's Romans chapter 15. And in verse 14 there, Paul says to the Romans, again, people that he had never met personally, but he had heard of them. He says, verse 14, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." And we've been talking about this word admonish here in the conversation just now. It's a word we don't really use in our ordinary language. It sounds almost kind of old fashioned, you know, the idea of admonishing someone. It's a pretty strong word. It's the word that, you know, if you go to the doctor and they say, well, you know, you're really gonna have to do something about your cholesterol, or you're gonna have to, you know, here's the way to help your muscles heal. If you go to a physical therapist, they're gonna be pretty stern and say, you know, this is something you're really gonna have to take care of, or the situation's gonna get worse. And so Paul says that they're able to admonish one another. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Jesse G, you pointed out the part about those who are leaders among us admonish us, but also it's not just for, you know, someone who has some kind of you know, elevated authority or something like that. It's just, you know, we're fellow believers together. But the things that we've been speaking about that you guys have brought in, you know, there's these two prerequisites here, full of goodness. And I think that's really the warmth side, the love side of things. And that comes first, full of goodness. And then filled with all knowledge. And so there's some truth that is not some truth. There is truth that is, you know, guiding the conversation. If it's just full of goodness and no knowledge, then, you know, maybe there's sort of just a pat on the back and, you know, an attaboy. And then we walk away and we think we gave him a little inspiration, but it didn't do anything. But if it's just knowledge and no goodness, it's, you know, it could drive somebody away. Just, you know, beating somebody with the rod of truth. But if we're full of goodness and filled with all knowledge, then we'll be able to admonish one another. And that that image about the Lord Jesus speaking about the speck and the beam, you know, if we see a speck in our brother's eye and we have a beam in our own eye, as was pointed out, well, we're not qualified to point out the speck in our brother's eye. But I really love how that passage ends, because it says, first take out the beam in your own eye and then go tell your brother about the speck. It doesn't say, you know, ignore your brother. It doesn't say take out the beam in your own eye and then let your brother just, you know, get an infection. You know, you deal with yourself, but then go help your brother. Don't let your brother stay in that condition. And then might just add on here that sometimes there are people in the scriptures, in the New Testament, who we wonder if they're believers. Some people looked like they were believers, and then there was actually a question as to whether they were or not. In 1 Corinthians 5 or 6, I think chapter 6, where it says, if somebody is called a brother and he's doing this or that, he's a drunkard, he's an extortioner, he's immoral, he's only called a brother. You almost are wondering, like, this kind of behavior doesn't go with the claim of Christianity. And sometimes we might even have a conversation. You know, there are some respectful questions to ask, but sometimes they're very pointed. Like, you know, so where are you at with your faith? You know, what can you tell me about what you really believe to be true about the Bible? You know, are there things that you're really holding on to? Is faith still important to you? Paul kind of said things like this to the Galatians. He said, you did run well. Who's hindered you that you're not obeying the truth anymore? I'm afraid for you, unless I've, you know, labored in vain among you. He was almost wondering whether some of them were giving up the faith, based on their actions. And so there sometimes is a place for pretty direct questions, because there sometimes is, you know, bad theology that makes people think they're Christians, but there hasn't ever been, you know, repentance, confession and repentance. And so if that's the situation, well, we don't want to leave somebody in that condition. So just a few more thoughts just to elaborate on what you were saying earlier, both of you.
It's a discouraging thing, though. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, because it's out of weakness, right? I mean, that's basically. I mean, it's tough to see, because I mean, again, and sometimes I feel, you know, burdened about it, because you don't want to assume, and that's why. The knowledge, as you said, is good, because you don't want to, you know, you don't want to assume you need both of them together, because you don't want to assume that this person is just living a reckless life. But I mean, you know, sometimes now we have social media, we have these different things, and you see these things sometimes, you're like, I don't know. I mean, like, you know,
yeah,
what's really going on. But then when you may talk to the person, you may find out that the person's in a state where, you know, like when I bring it to two minutes, they were in doubt. They were in a state of doubt. They were, something had shaken their lives. And I've been there at that point in my life too, where, you know, you're going through something and your faith is shaken, right? But, you know, you need somebody, you need that encouragement at that time. But you're right, is that you need to have that balance. You need to know what the approach is. Because for one person, the approach could be, they need to be reprimanded, they need to be warned, mm-hmm. right? But then, on the other hand, you may find somebody who needs to be comforted or needs encouragement at that time to bring them back to the Lord. So I think it's a spirit's work, right? I mean, you have to have real discernment and really pray. And that's what the apostle said. Even after he said, whom I've handed over Satan to blaspheme, not to blaspheme, he says, I urge them, first of all, that petitions and prayer and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people. Mm-hmm. He's talking about prayer. I mean, it takes prayer before you approach, or before you even try to act on anything. I believe that it has to be an attitude of prayer to direct you, because which approach is needed? Is it needed with the person needs to be reprimanded and say, hey, what you're doing is ungodly and you need to stop? Or the person needs to be with a thing of encouragement and say, hey, you know what? I've seen this is going on. Everything okay? And that person may just break down, start crying, and say, hey, you know, I needed help, you know?
Yeah.
I think we worry a lot about like how someone's going to react to us, but people know if we care about them, and if we're being genuine about like our concern.
Yeah.
And I think people can see through the, you know, if you were coming with like not actually caring about them and just trying to point out something wrong. But the fact like, hey, you know, I care about you. What's going on, you know, and some people are just waiting for an opportunity, you know, to come and to open up. And so I think sometimes it's easy to almost overthink, but you don't want to underthink it either. It takes a lot of prayer, and but this is a person you genuinely care about, right? This is a fellow, someone who says they're a fellow believer. Like, we're supposed to care about each other and love one another to the same degree that Christ loved us, right? So that's what it always comes down to, really, in the Christian life, is like, I need to learn how to see people the way the Lord saw them, and to feel for them the way he felt for them. And if that happens, then, you know, they're going to see that, right? They're going to see the love and the care, and they're going to respond to that. And some people will be defensive, and maybe, and sometimes, you know, maybe you don't say it quite right, or you don't phrase it, but, you know, try to not escalate it into some sort of argument or, you know, thing. But, and sometimes people won't take things well. And, you know, it's not on you necessarily how they respond to something. If you're doing it in love and you're being genuine, they're responsible for how they respond, right? Because scripture says to be able to respect those who admonish you. So we're taught that. So that's another side of it too. So I think we're always so worried about phrasing everything perfectly and phrasing it so precisely that it will convict them in just the right way, but with the love, and, you know, like the whole balance. You feel like sometimes you feel like you're juggling the grace and the truth, and and so it's a challenge. But the Lord is able to work, you know, and he can use the mouth of a donkey to bring his message. He can use me, and so he can use you to help another believer. And, you know, it's always so worried about it.
No, I really appreciate just that kind of mindset, because if we are in a place where we detect this about somebody, then probably we're in a place to be able to be helpful. I love the fact that in the book of Job, we have Job's three friends who are not helpful really hardly at all. And then all of a sudden you find out there was a fourth man there, and here's Elihu, and you know, he's younger than these three other men are. He's even younger than Job. But he was there. He was able to detect that the wrong approach was being taken, and he says, you know, I have some wisdom too. He wasn't being boastful, but, you know, that's what every one of us can say. If we belong to the Lord, I have some wisdom too. You know, that's the Spirit of God encouraging us to that we are equipped by the Spirit and by the Word to help someone somehow. And pastoral work, that's really what this is. Pastoral work, shepherding someone's heart. It's very, very hard work. It's long work. It you take the long view. Things are not going to be solved in a day. So many times, you know, God is working with people over years and decades. Naomi, who left Bethlehem, it was 10 years she's there before she comes back to Bethlehem. And look, God is still faithful. He didn't forget her. So you know, we don't want to give up just because we're trying to, you know, shepherd someone along the way. And, you know, maybe it's been years already, but shepherding work is we have to take the long view. And if we're in a position where God is giving us a heart of concern for someone, then probably God is going to be able to use us to be helpful somehow. We don't want to come in with as they say in counseling, to have a Messiah complex. You know, I'm the guy, I'm the woman who's going to, you know, deliver this person from the bonds of depravity. It's not about us, but on the other hand, if we do nothing, that's very unfortunate. So just encourage the questioner, encourage us to to just have that mindset that you were just describing, Jesse, Jesse G, in your comments just now about, you know, getting involved and not saying nothing, because probably the Lord has positioned us to be helpful in somehow, in some way.
Yeah, I wanted to just jump on that too, is saying that you're right. We have to be able to speak up, but you also have to know when to shut up. Because sometimes we may be like, you know what, we gotta solve this. And sometimes we have to learn to leave it to God, right? We said our piece, we prayed, we did everything that we could do, and we have to leave it to the Lord. Again, to bring it back to Apostle Paul, he said he left them and let them to their own devices. I'm sure he talked to them, he warned them, but after a while he had to say, well, now it's in God's hands, right? And it's sometimes we want to change the people, and we want to, you know, we can't, right? We have to leave it to the Lord. So just as you said, you know, we have to speak up if the Lord put it on our heart. We have to know when to leave it in His hands and say, you know what, you know, this is in God's hand right now, and continue to pray for that person, and let the Lord do His work.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. I mean, we're not responsible for the ultimate results, right? The change. That's the work of the Spirit of God convicting them and working in them. And we live in such a results-oriented world, right? And like instant stuff, like what we want, you get it that day, you get it the next day. You know, we live in an instant world, and that's not
that's microwave,
not God's timing, right? Yeah. God takes His time sometimes in working in people's lives. And sometimes you're just one part of the puzzle that helps them, and you got to leave that to the Lord. So it's, you know, but it's, again, you don't do nothing, right? Don't be this, the priest or the Levite that walks on the other side of the road, right? No. We're not that. That's not what we're called to be. So,
Very good.
The Lord can use us, and it's by grace. He's helped each one of us, and He works in each of our lives, and we all have things that He's working on. Mm. None of us are completed yet. Mm-hmm. So we're all growing, and we would just say thank you to whoever submitted this question. We really appreciate it. It's a vital question, because we're all here to help encourage each other in our faith and to grow together. Christianity is not an isolated thing. We're all growing together. And so we really appreciate the question. Mm-hmm. Just want to say thank you, Jesse, and thank you, Steve. We really appreciate taking the time. And before we close, anything we can pray for you guys?
Well, we're coming into the busy summer months as we're recording this, and there's a lot of activity coming up, camps and conferences and so on, that our family is involved with here and there, and I know others too. So prayer for preparation, and then also for not being so busy to forget what our purposes are in doing these things.
Yeah, I would echo that. I mean, camp coming up and different things coming up, and just continue to help with the planning and summer months get busy, but I mean, I want to, you know, keep the focus on the Lord things, and so that's a big thing for me right now. So continue to pray.
Yeah, amen. I need help with my time management as well. Just like everything seems to demand your time, and you're like, it's easy to like put things on the back burner that should be, you know, a priority. We just want to say thank you, those listening, for praying for us and praying for this podcast. Please don't stop. And we'll just, Lord willing, next time we'll have another topic that we can talk about. God bless everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.